Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
Stephen, where are you? Please answer me. Steve!
In this house, what you don't know will hurt you. It was to be a getaway dream. It's becoming a runaway nightmare.
Do you see anything?
Some old steps going down.
He has been awaiting the arrival of his new guests. One by one, they are disappearing. One by bloody one.
No! No! No!
When you move to this house, before you get locked in, read the fine print.
Mommy, hurry!
You may have just mortgaged your life. Due to the graphic nature of this film, no one under 18 will be admitted. House by the cemetery.
What's up, evil ones? Thanks for listening to the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm Brett, here with Carl. What's going on, brother?
I got all my fancy stuff now.
Yeah, you do. Looks way better, man.
Got a new camera. Got a new mic. Wearing an Evil Never Dies shirt. Jersey.
I'm sporting the creepy guy's shirt.
You're supporting our buddies, the middle-aged and creeped out. Yeah. I need to buy some different shirts, but I keep testing ours out until we get them perfected, and I waste all my money doing that.
So you got a jersey.
I got a jersey now. Like cool. I said, we need to turn this thing red, the thorn. Can't see it.
I'll have to work on that for sure.
That's your project for the next week, is fix the...
Shit.
Fix the thorn.
I got enough.
You don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, right.
let's have some shout outs here.
Yeah, we got some shout outs. First one to give a shout out to Hannah Hildreth, our buddy from Moxley Manor. She bought Carl and I a cup of coffee.
And drinking it now.
And so did our friend Christy Collier. She also bought us each a cup of coffee.
Are you drinking your coffee now?
I'm drinking. I guess tonight we're sponsored by Absolute Mandarin Orange.
Yes, we are. Look at that.
And it's quite tasty.
Mine's got a green thing on it, but yeah.
And much needed after this week.
So tell me what the cup of coffee is, because I let the viewers and the listeners know what the freak that is.
Well, if you want to support the show instead of like a monthly Patreon, like a lot of people have Patreon. This, you can just give whatever you, I think the amount start at $5. It just helps us out with the, doing the show. Cause we don't, you know, we're not monetized or anything like that. So, it would just help us out with our distributor that distributes the podcast out to all the platforms. And, the Zoom so we can record both. We don't have to be in the same room together.
Thank God.
And just with incidentals like that, buying stickers, stuff like that. And
okay.
That,
yeah, no, yeah, then anybody asked me, I'll know, because I wasn't real sure what that was all about.
But, you know, somebody feels that they want to help us out, you know, buy us a cup of coffee. And also, we got a couple people who bought merch, too, this week. Anthony Ward and Tiffany Boots from the Hillbilly Horror House podcast bought a shirt.
And somebody named Carl Todd bought a shirt.
Yeah, who's that guy?
What a shitty show. I got to buy my own shirt.
Well, we hardly make nothing on that. So that we only get a couple of bucks per shirt. So,
well, Brett keeps trying to improve on them, and I keep being the test merchant on them. So,
the test dummy.
Yeah. So now I can't buy any other clothes. I have to start wearing these shirts every day, I guess. Wait till tomorrow. I'll be all decked out in TCU purple.
You're going to be purple. You're going to be
now
a horny.
Now that we're back in real problem. Time. You know, we were a week behind after, or we were a week ahead after Halloween, some freaking way.
Yeah.
And last week, we got delayed, so we're back in real time, so we can actually talk about what's going on this weekend. I like being in real time. I know you don't, but you got two damn days to edit stuff, so.
Yeah. If I don't have nothing else going on, like
no, you have
plumbing and doing my break.
Yeah, you didn't even show up for the midweek.
Yeah, I know.
I did quite a good job, I have to say.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable.
I need to start looking at the camera for our YouTube people a little better.
Yeah, now that I got two.
Hey, screens, I see your eyes.
You can see my eyes? I haven't drank that much yet, so.
Yeah.
Give it a little bit, though.
So,
you'll be calling me Squints.
Of course, now you're also doing the after show Zoom party. Is that what we call it?
Yeah, Zoom or whatever. Just a Zoom chat with a couple of the people.
Anybody wants to come on and talk to us?
You got to join the group, though. I only put them out in the group. So you got to join the group if you want to get in on that. A lot of people, a couple podcasts, I know they do these, and it's part of their Patreon. So.
Man, we ain't gonna charge nobody for that.
No, for you to look at me drunk and.
Yeah, he was drunk last time. Trust me.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. But yeah, the absolute Mandarin.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like you said, they told me last week, it's really sweet.
Yeah, I guess I'm a vodka expert, too. I don't know. Vinnie Paul taught me well.
A vodka connoisseur?
Guy has the blood orange, and it's pretty bitter. Which yep. Blood orange is bitter. I mean, I used to go around eating blood oranges because it was cool, because I'm supposedly Count Karabi, and you're supposed to eat a blood orange. But they taste more like grapefruit than orange.
Yeah.
So
I had a glass of that the night of the haunt.
This is better by far.
Yes, it is. It's way more mellow. That was pretty strong, the Sky.
Yes.
It was still good. It would have went good with, like you said, it sort of tastes like a grapefruit almost. Sort of way. Sort of.
That's
got a
what grape. Blood orange is more of a grapefruit than an orange.
But it would go good with Squirt. It'd be a good mixer for that.
Just mix it with water and ice. You don't need all that fancy shit.
I try to get rid of the alcohol taste. So
yeah, I don't got any in this, but I just pour maybe a squint in there. I got to be up at 8 o'clock in the morning, or I got to be at the AT&T Stadium at 8 o'clock in the morning, or something like that.
That's crazy, man.
So, our hot boss Richard, They hook me up with some tickets to the Big 12 championship game tomorrow, which is TCU, our local college, the TCU Horned Frogs against the Kansas State Wildcats. So the win, if TCU win, they're going to the playoff game and will probably play the Michigan Wolverines. And I think they got a good chance of beating Michigan, but we got to beat Kansas State first. So that's our football for the week of trivia.
All righty.
I know a lot of our listeners are into some football.
Yeah.
Is it Todd? He's got the Georgia Bulldog logo as his on Facebook right now. So,
yeah, baseball. He's a Boston fan. He's a Red Sox fan.
I don't hate the Red Sox.
I like them better than the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees are the Yankees. When you're the greatest, that's just the way it is. They ain't been that great here lately, though. The Astros have been spanking their butts. I love it. Hey, now we're having Evil Never Dies sports talk.
Oh, not very much for me. I'm not the biggest sports fan.
No, you like the Cubs, for God's sakes.
I don't even know who plays for the Cubs anymore.
No, they have a catcher, and that's it. They got rid of everybody else. All their World Series guys are gone, so the Cubs ain't ever going to be competitive again.
You can't never see a Cubs game down here anyway unless you got satellite or cable or anything. So.
Yeah. You actually can get the MLB app, and actually T-Mobile gives that away every year. So you could watch a Cubs game if you got T-Mobile.
Yeah, like I said, I don't even know who plays on the team anymore. It's been years. Probably ain't seen a Cubs game since I've lived down here in almost 11 years.
Well, you got to be a Rangers fan now. The Rangers never win, though.
All right.
So, yeah, we got something to do tonight. I forgot.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a movie.
A movie?
A movie or a film.
A film.
A film. Tonight.
A very artistic film this week.
Yeah, it's artistic, all right.
Hey, it was artistic.
Yep. Tonight we're going to be discussing The House by the Cemetery from 1981. If you're a Lucio Fulci fan, then you've probably seen this movie before.
I've seen it.
I've seen it.
I just watched it last week, and actually tonight I was watching some of the special features.
Oh yeah. Well, hopefully you got some little tidbits.
I got one that we'll bring up when we get to the point that I never would have noticed. So yeah, I actually learned some stuff from the special features. The ones that were not in Italian, that is. Most of them were in Italian and had subtitles, and I don't like reading subtitles because I'm lazy. I'm very lazy.
Oh.
I always hated subtitles in movies.
All right. It's an Italian film directed by Lucio Fulci. Screenplay by... Now... Excuse my Italian.
What? You do not. I thought the Count Caravi could do it all there. Nah.
All right. Screenplay is by Dardano Sacchetti, Giorgio Maruso, and Lucio Fulci. Story was originally done by Eliza Livia Brigante. Or Brigante, it's an I on the end. Produced by Fabrizio De Angelis.
Fabrizio.
Cinematography by Sergio Salvati. Edited by Vincenzo Tomasi. And the score was by Walter Rosati and Alessandro Blanksteiner. That name sounds familiar.
Not to me, but I actually got the score that came with the special edition Blu-ray. So it's now part of my library. So I like awesome. The score.
All right. Production company, Fulvia Films. Distributed by Medusa Distribution. It was released on the 14th of August, 1981 in Italy. And elsewhere, it was released in different countries September and October of 81. Languages, Italian with English dub overs.
Yes, and there were dub overs.
Very lots of dub overs. All right. The budget, 600 million lira.
What is that in dollars?
That's about $380,000.
Wow, that's actually a low budget.
Yeah. And it brought at the box office in Italy alone 1.4 billion lira. And that's about close to 700,000, so they made their money back. They doubled their money on it. All right. Special effects,
which were very well done.
Yeah, for sure. Now there's construing things on this about who did the special effects and makeup on this.
Well, they're arguing about it, are they?
Yeah, well, they argued about this whole production. Some people say it was Gianetto di Rossi, and other people say it was Maurizio Trani.
Well, you're Bubba Brett. Who was the actual one? I need to know.
They're saying it was Maurizio Trani is who they're saying it was.
Yeah.
He's the one that was credited, I guess.
Well, he deserved all the credit because there were some cool special effects in this movie.
Yeah, good blood, good blood.
Lots of good blood.
Good blood.
One of the bloodier movies. Well, that and what's the Land of the... What is the first one called?
City of the Living Dead.
City of the Living Dead. And also had another name.
Gates of Hell.
Gates of Hell. There you go. I thought... I was so dumb. I thought those were two separate movies at one point.
Well, actually, this movie,
Beyond,
The Beyond, and City of the Living Dead, this is like a trilogy.
I don't see how they're tied together.
I don't either, except for the main actresses in all three of them.
That's true.
We'll get to that here in a bit. Yeah. So.
Yeah. What?
Well, I guess we will go over the cast. First, we got Paolo Malco as Dr. Norman Boyle. Catriona McColl as Lucy Boyle, but she's credited as Catherine McColl. Ania Pirioni as Anne the babysitter. Giovanni Frazza as Bob Boyle, the little boy in the movie.
Bob the boy. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Not Robert the Doll.
No, Robert, it ain't you. It's Bob the boy. And whoever dubbed that kid's voice, oh my God, they should have choked the fuck out of him.
I know.
They even talked on on one of the featurettes about, the actor's actually really good. He did a lot of horror movies, but unfortunately in this one, whoever dubbed his voice was terrible.
Yeah, and it made it annoying.
They said don't give the actor knocks for that because he had nothing to do with that.
Yep. All right, next we got Sylvia Colatina as May Frudstein. Dagmar Lassander as Laura Gittleson. She was like the realtor for the house that they moved into.
Yeah, she can kind of put the craps to these people.
And we got Giovanni Di Nava as Dr. Frudstein, which he'll come into play when we go over the plot and all that.
Is he the guy that looks like a Pumpkinhead? He looked more like Pumpkinhead than the fucking
Pumpkinhead.
Is he Pumpkinhead, dude? Dr. Freudstein?
I don't know. The next we got Daniela Doria as the first female victim.
That's all she's called, huh?
That's all she's called. She didn't even have a name. She's in the opening scene and gets a knife.
Well, I'm going to give her a name.
Okay. What's her name, Carl?
I can't think of a name for her, so I guess she's going to be the female victim.
First female victim?
Yeah. She's going to keep that name.
Okay. But she got a knife stabbed through her skull and it came out her mouth.
Yes, it did.
Very first scene of the film. All right, here we go. Here I'm going to be stretching this here. Gianna Piallo.
Gianna Piallo.
Saccarola as Daniel Douglas.
What?
Sack of shit.
Who did he play?
Daniel Douglas. I think he was the guy in the office of the realtor office there. Then we got Carlo DiMejo as Mr. Wheatley. Kenneth A. Olson as Harold, and he was credited as John Olson.
John Olson. Johnny Olson. That's the guy from The Price is Right that used to do the announcing.
Oh, yeah. That's his name.
That was Johnny Olson.
All right. Back when The Price is Right was good with Bob Barker.
Yeah, now they got that weirdo on there.
All right. Elmer Johnson as the cemetery caretaker. Ranieri Ferrara as victim. And Teresa Rossi as Mary Frudstein, which was the doctor's wife, I guess.
I guess.
All right, let's go over the plot. In the film starts in New York City, and the Dr. Boyle is he assumes the research that the Dr. Frudstein, his colleague, and the Dr. Peterson, they assumed his work after the Dr. Frudstein or Dr. Peterson committed suicide after killing his mistress.
Now, you know where a lot of that's sort of H.P. Lovecraft in nature.
Yeah.
The doctor going mad and the other doctor coming in to take the research over. So credit there for using some H.P. Lovecraft.
Well, that's what Fulci mythology was going for this whole film.
He did a
film.
Good job.
But in our universe, not in the H.P.
Lovecraft. Not in
Lovecraft.
The Lovecraftian, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I like that part of the movie. It was very crafty.
So Norman heads to Boston, Massachusetts with his wife, Lucy, and their son, Bob.
And Bob.
Bob.
Bob the boy.
To live in an isolated house in the woods that also happens to be
by the cemetery.
By the cemetery.
There you go. There's the name of the movie, House by the Cemetery. You know, the first time I saw this, I thought, well, this must be a zombie movie or, you know, something's going to happen in the cemetery. Actually, the cemetery don't play much of a role in any of it.
No, you don't even see it, but a very couple of very few scenes. So,
yeah. I don't know what they would have called
it. So I guess this house belonged to Dr. Peterson. So he was going there to do his research so he could, like, sort of like be in touch with what the Dr. Peterson was working on, which I don't even, they didn't even really say what kind of research he was working on.
No, we don't have any idea what he's doing. So I don't know.
And then Bob befriends the little girl May that only he can see.
Is she like a ghost?
I don't know. I guess so. I guess so.
Or is she like a illusion? I don't know.
I don't know, but she warns him not to even come to the house.
Well, he shouldn't have came to the house.
No, no. And soon after that, the parents hire a mysterious babysitter, Anne. And
she was
creepy,
mysterious.
She was creepy as hell.
I think she'd been in the other, was she in some of the other movies that
I think
made
so.
As well.
She's a pretty well known Italian actress, so yeah. But after she gets there, weird things start happening in the house, and Bob the boy.
Not Bobby. Don't call him Bobby. His name is Bob the boy. With that terrible, terrible, terrible voice. I almost had to turn the movie off because of this kid's voice. I didn't think it was a kid dubbing the voice. I think it was some old lady.
So
I do.
Bobby goes in the basement.
Bob
goes in the basement and gets locked down there with the entity or whatever the hell you want to call it. The Dr. Frudstein.
Pumpkinhead. He looked just like Pumpkinhead should have looked. Because remember, Pumpkinhead was not a pumpkin in that stupid Pumpkinhead movie. This Dr. Frudstein would have played a much better Pumpkinhead if we did a cross universe.
Yep.
So what happens when he gets locked in the basement?
What happens? Then he get scratched up and stuff and thrown around by the Dr. Frudstein, and then the mom comes down and she gets attacked by the Frudstein, and yeah.
What about the axe scene? Or are we too far ahead now?
What part was that in?
That was at the very end. I thought we'd already jumped to the end.
Oh yeah, I guess we're at the end. Yeah.
Well, we're not doing spoilers anymore, so
yeah, we don't want.
Anyway, that part is actually somewhat from The Shining, except in this case, the daddy's got the axe trying to save the boy.
Yep.
Whereas Jack Nicholson, whatever his name was in the movie, was Jack. He's trying to cut everybody up with the axe, so it's sort of a reversal of roles there. But the axe almost hits Bob the boy in the head.
Yeah. Twice. Yeah. Didn't the
pumpkin head
have his hand up against his head, holding up against the door?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
This pumpkin head doctor's a real asshole.
Yeah, he was a pretty freaky character for sure. All right. I guess we can go on to some trivia here.
Let's do trivia, then we'll talk about some of the special effects.
All righty.
Because there were some really good special effects in this thing.
All right. The library scene set is also featured in the previous film before this, The Beyond. This was filmed on the Ellis Estate in Scituate, Massachusetts. I guess that's how you say it. Scituate.
I can't even say Massachusetts right.
Still. Massachusetts.
I'm too Texan for that.
Where another Italian horror film was filmed, Ghost House from 1988.
I remember Ghost House.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good movie. Better than this one.
Hey, don't trash the movie, dude.
Don't trash it. Like I said earlier, it's the third part of the Gates of Hell trilogy, including City of the Living Dead and The Beyond.
Why, again, we're reviewing part three of a movie and skipping part one and two. Why do we do that?
I don't know. Probably because this is the first one I...
the first one you can
wrote,
find.
Wrote, I put on the list.
Well, I don't think in this case they really have to be watched in order.
Now, when they made this film, the writers and Fulci, they argued about all kinds of different shit. About how it would, they all three wanted to go different ways. Like you said, Fulci wanted to go with the theme, whatever you just said earlier. And the other ones had one of them wanted to go with an experience he had as a child of living in a house next to a cemetery.
That would have been a better plot, maybe.
And the other one wanted to go with a different book that he had read about. So, although most of the dialogue was done in English, I don't think. None of it was done in English. I don't think it was either. I think it was all overdubbed. But this is saying that the two children's dialogue is in Italian and dubbed over.
So, well, there's no doubt Bob is a dub.
Yeah, that's the girl, too. The little girl, May, you can tell that hers was, too. So, and yeah.
So would that mean the other parts were dubbed in Italian for the...
I don't know.
That seems weird to me. Why would you do half the movie in English and half in Italian?
That's weird, ain't it?
Very weird.
Maybe they filmed the parts of that, because part of this was filmed in the United States and New York, and
that's true.
And part of it was filmed in the studio over in Italy. So maybe them parts were filmed at the studio. The girl who played May Frudstein, the little girl, the little ghost girl or whatever, she was also the hands of Dr. Frudstein.
He had some freaky hands.
Yeah.
He had pumpkinhead hands.
Pumpkinhead hands. Some of the music used is from the spaghetti western movie Django's Cut Price Corpses. You ever seen that?
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
But I, like I said, I do got the score now from the CD came with the movie, and it's on Apple Music. So we can use it in the haunted house if you want to.
That'll work. That'd be good in the museum.
It could be.
Yeah. Always thinking ahead.
We always got to have the haunt on the brain.
Yep. Paolo Malco kept one of the mechanical bats that was used in the bat sequence.
That bat sequence sucked.
Yeah, it did. 1931's Dracula was better than that.
Yeah, that bat sequence was not a good special effect. I was bragging on the special effects, but that bat was not good at all.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. Bob, played by Giovanni Frazza, was only 8 years old when he was cast for the movie. Catherine McCall overcame her aversion to bats as a direct result of acting to this film.
Well, I guess something about the fake bat worked.
Yeah. I could see what would happen if she had a real bat chewing on her, see if she'd still be scared of them or not.
I might have been. Who knows?
The trailers for the U.S. release of the film were narrated by Theodore Gottlieb, whoever that is. Who is he? Let's see.
See who he is, because I don't know.
Oh.
I am not an expert in the Italian horror genre.
Actor and writer. Old. He's been in... Oh, he's a freaky looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in a lot of movies. He was in The Burbs in 1989, The Last Unicorn, and Nocturna, whatever that is. He died in 2001.
I watched a lot of these Italian horror movies, probably on, like, they had, it wasn't Elvira, but it was some of these horror spoof guys like Elvira, yeah. And they played a lot of the Italian horror movies. I watched them as a kid, so I'm sure what I saw as a kid, 90% of the movie was cut out.
Like on a creature feature, like on
something
the
like that.
Saturday night or whatever, yeah.
Because there's one called Tales of the Blind Dead. It was an Italian horror movie that I thought was just wonderful, but I'm sure if I watched it now, I would think otherwise. I had it on a VHS tape, and I used to watch that thing all the time. So a lot of these old Italian horror movies I saw as a kid, and I have good memories of them, but watching them now, of course, you're going to look at them differently.
Yep.
They didn't age as well.
From when you were young and dumb.
Whereas a 1950s Hammer film looks genius compared to some of these,
yeah,
you know, late 70s, early 80s Italian horror films, because they were probably just done on such a low budget. But what can you say? The blood was good in this movie.
Yeah, it was. Lucio Fulci plays a...
Yeah, he was in it.
He has a cameo in the movie where he's talking to... the doctor, other doctor on the street.
Is right he dubbed before. Or is it actually his voice?
I don't know.
Hard to get a lot of information on these very obscure movies, especially the Italian horror movie genre.
Yep. Oh, let's see here. We don't want to do any spoilers. Let's see, what else do we got here?
Well, we did spoil that the daddy takes an axe to the door.
Let's go over the special effects then.
And that's what I liked, yes.
Well, go ahead with it then. What do you got to say, Carl?
One of the best special effects is I don't know how they got that hole in the girl or the lady. There's just like a big hole and the blood just keeps pouring out. I don't even know how they would have pulled that off. There had to be a blood pump, but it looks so realistic.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly. There were so many stabbings in this movie. I can't remember exactly which device stabbed him, but it was a perfect round hole about that big.
Wasn't it like a fireplace poker or something? I think
that might have been the poker.
Yeah.
They were stabbing people with everything you could think of, but the blood, that looks so damn realistic. I mean, it just blood gush out, then it would stop, then it would gush again.
It almost looked like a gunshot wound, sort of in a way.
Yeah, but it was like gush, then it stopped. Very realistic. That's the one that stands out to me. I'm really impressed how they did that. And I don't know how they even pulled it off, because when you get later in the 80s, there's some special effects that look so fake. This was done well, so that'd be one that would stand out to me, was the blood gush. With the heartbeat, it just got, and every time you think it's done, it gushed a little bit more. Very good effects.
Yep.
Would be my top thing is the blood. This thing is such a bloody movie.
Yes, it is, and good blood too. Not the fake clear blood,
pink blood. It's actual red blood.
Looked very, very real for sure. Some of the the opening scene where the girl gets stuck in the back of the skull and it comes out her mouth. You can see the rubber, the knife's a rubber knife. You can see it wiggling.
That made me yawn.
And
remember, I got to be at a football game at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'm yawning already.
Oh, you and your football game.
Hey, now, football season, still got a few months to go.
When they originally released this on VHS, it was like cut different or something, because some of the scenes are backwards and in different spots.
they fucked up the editing then.
And I think I seen that version, got it from the video store back in the day.
And I'm sure I did too.
When I've recently seen it, I was like, thinking that didn't happen. That's I don't remember that happening now, you know. So, you know, it was just weird. But I do think I've seen that version on VHS back in the day.
Well, currently it's the Blue Underground put out the Blu-ray. I don't have the case with me. It's already put up. But it was a three disc, two Blu-rays and the CD soundtrack. And one of the Blu-ray, or it's probably a DVD, I don't know, but with the special features. But unfortunately, a lot of it's in Italian, but it's all not dubbed, but subtitled. But
that came back out in 2011.
It did, and they actually just recently released it on 4K. But I actually bought it to get the CD because I wanted the soundtrack. So I kind of wish I'd have bought it in 4K because the Blu-ray is pretty bad. It shows a lot of artifact in the
they said they did it with the 2K transfer. That's
it
probably
don't look
why
like a 2K transfer. No, but they have put out an actual 4K on a 4K Blu-ray, and who knows? I might pick that up one of these days, but
just for hell of it.
Yeah.
See if it looks any better.
See if it looks better, because it looked pretty crappy. But that Blue Underground is not the best company. They're not the Scream Factory, and they're not the Vinegar Syndrome and all these different people I buy from.
Well, I watched it on Shudder, and it actually looked pretty good.
They may have gotten the 4K, but I want to get the Gates of Hell, or whatever it's also called, I think, and who knows? We may do a review on that. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see how the outcome of this is, I guess. Because you wanted to get into his movies, so we're into them now.
Yeah, I like the Italian directors. His version of Dawn of the Dead, Zombie, that's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite movies.
Apple TV. Now, iTunes had it for like $3.99 or something. I bought a bunch of it was from Arrow. I bought a bunch of those Italian horror movies, and they were all $3.99. So I've got a lot of them. You name them, and I probably can get a hold of them either on Blu-ray or on my streaming.
Yeah, that zombie that he made.
Zombie's good.
That's a very the zombie itself, the main one that you see like on the cover and stuff. That's one of the most iconic zombies ever, you know.
It is.
They have masks of it and stuff so that you can buy. Fulci zombie.
Yeah. Lots of credit for that. That Mo is a really good movie.
But yeah, we'll get more into some of his other films. He's been making films since like the late 50s, I think. So not all horror, though, I don't think. Have you seen his version of The Black Cat? Is that like a remake of, or is it a?
It is not dubbed in English. It's in subtitles. It's
Italian, really?
From what I've gathered, there may be a Blu-ray of it that's done with dubbing, but I don't like subtitle movies.
Now, is that a remake of the other Black Cat?
It's a remake. Yeah, there's been about three or four versions of that.
Okay. I've never seen that. It's on Shudder too. I probably should watch it.
Maybe you should, because I can get it on Apple TV / iTunes for like $2.99.
See if it's worth anything, worth watching, or if I'll fall asleep 10 minutes after it starts.
Fall asleep.
Oh.
So what else we got? We didn't get into a lot of the special effects. There's really not much to say except the blood is good.
Yeah, without giving away a lot of the film.
We're spoiler-free as much as we can.
And we try.
Because these movies are obscure. A lot of people have not seen them, I know.
Yep. Well, it was sort of hard to find, you know, for a while.
It was until this Blue Underground put it out. I'll tell you what, just about any horror movie you can think of has been put out on Blu-ray in the last 10 years. So a lot of these obscure movies are now available. You're just going to have to buy them before they lose the rights to them, the licensing, and then they'll go out of print, and then you won't get them unless you pay $100 on eBay for them. Yeah. That's why I've got an entire wall over here of horror movies, because that's my thought. I mean, a lot of these are not ever going to be on streaming. I guess Shudder gets a few of them. What about that new horror app that you like paid for a year? Have they ever done anything?
It's a bunch of like D movies that I've seen. The only Halloween's on there.
Whoopie-doo.
That's like the only main name movie really that's on there. I tried watching a couple. I guess some of them might be some indie movies too. Might be some independent horror movies on there.
Look at I got right there. Halloween 6 in 4K.
Ooh.
Theatrical and director's cut or producer's cut in 4K. It's got both of them.
Really?
I just have to pimp that out right there. Everybody knows how much we love Halloween 6. Yeah, it's on the damn sheet, the shirt, the logo, even though you can't see it on this shirt. It's there.
It's there. We need to do something with it. But
okay, what else we got?
Rotten Tomatoes gave it an approval rating of 45% based on 11 reviews. On only 11 reviews, too. That ain't too bad. With an average rating of 4.5 out of 10. Let's see, who's this? Time Out magazine out of the UK.
Oh, Time Out.
Huh?
Time Out. That's a big mag.
They called it a hack work of almost awesome incoherence.
It is very incoherent.
Yeah, it is. It's all over the place.
We did discuss that off camera, that it's a very incoherent movie, and you don't really know what the freak is going on.
Yeah.
See, I'm used to doing the podcast by myself, and instead I'm using the word freak more. I'm trying to be not as cussy.
Cussy?
Not as cussy.
All right. All Movies praise the film, complimenting its atmosphere.
It's got a very spooky atmosphere.
Yes, it does. That's why the score went along with it so well.
It's good.
It's really creepy. So, let's see.
I think that's about all we got, man.
Yeah, there's not much info on it, really. Trying to research anything, so
let's anyway, movie.
What are you going to rate it, Carl?
You go first.
Well,
I don't think you like it much.
I've seen better. It just ain't held up, you know, over the years, I don't think. Good special effects. Good score.
Really good score.
For that, I'm going to give it a 3.
A 3?
Yep.
I thought he's going to give it like a 1 or a 2. I'm disappointed in you.
Disappointed?
Yeah.
You know, I'm giving it a 3.
I'm giving it a 2.5, and I actually liked it.
Really?
More than you did.
Really?
It's just incoherent. Well,
it wasn't that bad. It wasn't
I'm
that
not saying
bad.
It's bad. It's just an incoherent movie that's hard to follow.
Yep. Yes, it
it's
is.
It's basically a movie you put on and get on your iPad and just kind of glance up every now and then when the cool shit happens. And the score is good. So
fall asleep and wake up when there's a screen.
There is no storyline in this movie except some doctor who looks like who should have been Pumpkinhead. And Bob the Annoying Kid's the voice.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm only gonna give it a 2.5.
And for being that kid for being Italian, he's like bleach blonde.
He certainly was.
I don't know if they dyed his hair for that movie or if he's naturally blonde or what.
I don't know.
He sort of looked like, remember that kid from the Pepsi commercials back in the early 80s? With running with the puppies and stuff, the little blonde-headed kid, that's what he looked like.
I have no idea.
I'm sure
you're making up shit now.
I'm sure somebody knows.
He's making shit up, folks.
I'm not.
He is. Making stuff up. No, I don't dislike the movie. It just, it's very incoherent. It's not a very good movie as far as storyline. And that takes a lot off for me. But I don't know, I probably should give it a 3, but
it was just too far all over the place, you know, from scene to scene. It was.
Do I recommend watching this? I would say if you can find it, yeah, watch it. I would not buy it on Blu-ray unless you're a collector.
Yeah,
will I buy it on 4K? I just might, just to come. I might actually throw the 4K in the case that I got and go from there. You know,
just to see if it looks any better than the Blu-ray. It looks
a little better. So while this is a unique situation, while I don't rate the movie that high, I do actually credit the movie for being unique and has its place. So this is an odd situation where I actually like a movie, but I do give it a low rating. Whereas you don't like the movie that well, and you gave it a higher rating. So go figure, everybody.
Go figure.
Go do some more plumbing now.
It is what it is.
Go do some plumbing.
Go plumb. I'm done plumbing for a while.
The midweek episode again.
Now it's doing brakes on my truck, which is going to be a pain in the ass. That's what happens when you can't maintain your truck right like you should. You end up having to replace everything all at once. But anyway, you got anything else, Carl?
Nothing whatsoever.
All righty, man. Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Let's
check us out on the
Out the social medias, and let's pump all the addresses here.
Pump them out.
You're the one that does them all.
I don't know.
What our YouTube account is.
It's youtube.com/@TheEvilNeverDiesPodcast for the YouTube.
I need to get the password for that, and I'll start throwing my own content on there every now and then. Non-podcast content. It'll just be snippets.
Snippets?
Snippets.
Snippets. All right. Well,
then we got Facebook.
Facebook. Join the group if you want to join in on our Zoom deals on after we get done here, and usually do them on Friday night.
Jimbo wants us to do them on Saturday, but I'm usually busy.
Yeah, me too, but might do it one night just for him.
There you go. We'll do it for Jimbo. Then we're on Twitter, and we need to start updating Twitter better since Elon Musk is causing havoc on there.
Yeah.
He said he's going to get rid of non-active accounts, so check us out on Twitter.
I post twice a week.
Check me out on Twitter. I'm at Carl Todd on Twitter. I'm trying to get people to follow me. I only got 26 followers.
Only 26?
Follow me on Twitter. I'm going to start posting more crap there.
Just start following a bunch of people and they'll follow you back.
I'll try that too. I was never a big Twitter fan, but now that Musk has all the shit rolling, it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
We're on what is that damn thing called with the videos that I hate? TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
I don't do TikTok.
Yeah. Chinese follow you on that. They spy on everything you do.
Yeah, I just don't like the whole thing. We're on Instagram, aren't we? Yes.
Yep, Instagram.
So we're everywhere, so look for us.
Do you want to support the show?
Formats, huh?
If you want to support the show, buy us a cup of coffee. I put all the links in the episode notes. What else? If you want some merch, like our friend Tiffany Boots and Anthony Ward.
And Carl Todd.
Who's that guy?
Some asshole.
And there was something else I wanted to say, too. Oh, stay evil, everybody.
That's it?
That's it.
That's not a good way to end. You said you had something else to say.
That was it. Stay evil, everybody.
What a shitty ending. Is this fool fucking with me?